Please turn again in the Bible to Genesis chapter 9. My subject today is entitled Failure in the Days of Noah. And I want to base my remarks on Genesis chapter 9, verses 20 and 21. And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider this subject this afternoon. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we once again thank thee for the privilege of coming before thee. We thank thee for thy precious word. And O God, as we consider this subject today, we pray that you would come and fill us afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit. We're so conscious, Lord, that we need thy help and we need thy power. And we pray, Lord, as we deal with this subject, that you would give us wisdom. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. And O God, we pray, therefore, that you would grant us wisdom and help us, Lord, just to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. O God, we recognize that we have before us in thy word, in this portion of scripture, another warning. O God, help us to heed the warnings of God. We pray, Lord, today that you would apply your word, therefore, to our hearts. We ask thee, Lord, that you would speak to each and every one of us, both saint and sinner alike. And O God, we pray that you would help us, Lord, not only to be hearers, but doers of thy precious word. We're so conscious of the workings of hell. We're so conscious, Lord, of the devices of the devil. We pray that you'll bind Satan. O God, we pray that you'd cover this meeting now in the precious blood of the Lamb. And O God, may your word find a resting place in our hearts. Lord, help us to hide thy word deep in our hearts, so we might not sin against thee. O God, undertake for us now. We just cast, Lord, ourselves upon thee. Of course, in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Genesis chapter 9 records for us the failure of Noah, or the sin of Noah. Now, if you and I were writing the story of Noah, we would leave out this chapter in the life of Noah. We would want the story of Noah to end on a high. But the truth is, men and women, God is the author of the Bible. And God writes the story as it is. And even when it comes to the servants of God, the Lord hides nothing. This fact is proof that the scriptures are the inspired word of God. The fact that Noah's failure and sin is recorded in the divine record is evidence that the Bible is a divine record. And never forget that. This sad episode in the life of Noah took place some time after Noah came out of the ark. And there's no doubt that it was a blot on Noah's life and testimony. Child of God, this failure in the life of Noah that is recorded here in this chapter is a reminder to us all that we will not be free from temptation until we get home to heaven. Just because we're saved, just because we're born again of the Spirit of God, just because we're redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, does not mean that we cannot fall into sin and fail the Lord. And here in this portion of Scripture, Noah is falling into sin and failing the Lord. I'm reminded of those words in the New Testament which say, him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. You see, the truth is, the greatest saint, the godliest saint, the holiest saint can fail and fall into sin. But when we do, child of God, remember this, there are consequences. And even in the days of Noah, there were consequences when Noah failed the Lord. Now I want you to notice a number of things here about Noah's failure or Noah's sin. And I pray that the Lord will write His word upon all of our hearts. Now, of course, the message in the main is for God's people. This message is a warning for those of us who are saved and redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. But I do pray that the Lord will take the word today and apply it to every heart. And maybe you're not saved this afternoon. Well, there's a message here for you as well, and I pray that the Lord will take His word and write it upon your heart and upon your soul. What do we learn here about Noah's failure or Noah's sin? Well, first of all, I want you to notice that Noah's sin was drunkenness. Take a look at what it says in verse 20 and 21 of Genesis chapter 9. And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken. Noah's first mistake, of course, was that he planted a vineyard. He went into the wine business. And after Noah had harvested the wine from his vineyard, the Bible tells us that he drank the wine and became drunken. Men and women, the Bible clearly teaches that drunkenness is a sin. Now, of course, the Bible emphasizes many sins. But in this particular portion of Scripture, as we read about the life of Noah, and as we consider the failure of Noah, the Lord here is pointing out the sin of drunkenness. And Noah here commits this sin. Now, he's a child of God, and we must not forget that. Indeed, in our studies so far, we have seen how he has been used by God in a mighty way. Indeed, when no one else stood for God, and when no one else walked with God, in this entire world, Noah was a man who walked with God. And Noah was a man who was faithful in his generation. And yet, in this portion of Scripture, we have Noah failing. Noah sinning. And his sin is clear for each and every one of us to see. It's drunkenness. The Bible condemns drunkenness. Keep your hand in Genesis chapter 9 and turn over to Proverbs chapter 20 and look with me at verse 1 and you'll read these words. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. There we have the word of God condemning the sin of drunkenness. I turn over to the New Testament, Romans chapter 13, and look at verse 13. Here we have the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And here Paul writes these words, "Let us walk honestly." So Paul here is writing to the Christians at Rome, to the saints of God, and this is what he says to the saints of God, "Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness." So there the apostle condemns the sin of drunkenness. There are many other portions of Scripture that we could turn to. Ephesians 5 verse 18, again, the apostle Paul is the one who is speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And Paul there exhorts the saints of God, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Ghost. But the first part of the verse, Paul again emphasizes the sin of drunkenness. Let me give you one more reference. There are many. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 11. We read these words, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. God forbids drunkenness. Men and women, the best way not to get drunk is not to drink booze. One of the biggest curses in this 21st century is the liquor trade. And I believe in this age in which we live, Christians should be teetotalers. Now, you've heard me say that before, but I still believe it. The only way to avoid drunkenness is to avoid drinking alcohol. This failure of Noah is the first mention of wine in the Bible. Men and women, the first mention of wine in the Bible should carry with it here a warning to each and every one of us. Because when we consider this portion of Scripture, we see here a tragedy. And we're going to see how great the tragedy was just in a moment. But here we have the first mention of wine in the Bible. And what tragic circumstances. We have the first mention of wine here in the Bible. Noah gets drunk. He fails the Lord. And we're going to see the consequences of that just in a moment. But you can see here very clearly from God's precious word that God in his word condemns the sin of drunkenness. Now, turn back again to Genesis chapter 9, because there's something else I want you to notice here. I want you to notice this. Noah's sin of drunkenness led him into other sins and into great shame. Take a look at what it says in verse 21. And he drank of the wine and was drunken. Now this part of the verse I want you to underline. And he was uncovered within his tent. Look at verse 22. And Ham, the father of Cana, saw the nakedness of his father. Noah's drunkenness led to Noah's unrobing. It was a sinful unrobing. The Hebrew word used here for nakedness in verse 22 actually means shameful nakedness. And it is often used to describe immoral behavior. Now I want you to understand that. Therefore, the immodesty described here about Noah was sinful immodesty. When it says here that Noah was uncovered, it does not mean that Noah casually removed his robes as he got ready to go to bed after a long day's work. This unrobing, this uncovering of Noah here is describing an action that is immoral and that is immodest. It is describing further sin on the part of Noah. Now you've got to see that. And you've got to understand that. That's what the Word of God here is teaching, and that's what the Word of God here is seeking to emphasize to us. A.W. Pink said, the sins of intemperance and impurity are twin sisters. In other words, drunkenness, immorality, and immodesty go together. Let me give you another example of that in the Bible. Keep your hand in Genesis chapter 9 for a moment and turn over a few pages to Genesis chapter 19. And here we have the story of Lot. And of course, we'll be familiar with the story of Lot. Lot went down into Sodom and Gomorrah. And of course, the Lord delivered Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah before he judged those wicked cities for their sin. But after Lot and his two daughters came out of Sodom and Gomorrah, something very sad happened to Lot. Lot failed. Of course, Lot is a child of God. Backslidden, yes, but a child of God. And when we read the New Testament teaches us clearly that Lot was a child of God. But he failed. He sinned. And we have recorded here in Genesis chapter 19, Lot's failure. And his failure is connected with wine as well. Because Lot got drunk. Take a look at what it says in verse 30. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him. And he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there's not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father. And he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also. And go thou in and lie with him, that he may preserve seed, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him. And he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. So Lot's failure started when he drank the wine. But you can see how the sin progressed. You can see how one sin led to another. You know, this truth is emphasized again. Let me read them because these verses are very, very important. In Proverbs chapter 23, just turn over to Proverbs just chapter 23. And you'll see this again. How drunkenness leads to immorality. In Proverbs 23 verse 29 we read these words. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath bubbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of the eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his colour in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an otter. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Oh, how you can see there in that passage of Scripture, God condemns drunkenness, but you can see the outcome of drunkenness. Drunkenness leads to immorality. Drunkenness leads to other sins. And that's the point that I'm trying to make here in Genesis chapter 9 with the sin of Noah. Noah's sin of drunkenness and immorality was known to others. Did you notice that in Genesis chapter 9? It was known to others. Take a look at what it says in verse 22. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. I don't know whether Noah was trying to keep this a secret or not. Maybe he thought he could go into his tent, open a bottle of booze, drink away, get drunk, get undressed, and no one else would know anything about it. But if he did, he was wrong. Because his son saw him in his drunken stupor.
And then his son went out and told his two other sons. Child of God, if we continue in sin, it will soon be known to others. But even if our sin is not known to others, it is known to God. That's why we need to confess our sin and forsake our sin and turn away from our sin. If the child of God continues in sin, it will soon be known. Others will get to know about it. Now, you might think that you're sinning in secret and no one else knows about it. But eventually, your sin will be caught on. Eventually. Eventually your sin will catch up with you. Eventually. And that's what happened to Noah. His sin caught up with him. And oh, what sad consequences we have here in this portion of Scripture. Now take a look at Genesis chapter 9 again. I want you to notice, thirdly, that Noah's sin caused his son to sin. Not only was Noah's sin wrong, this sin of drunkenness, not only did God condemn this sin that Noah committed, not only did this sin of Noah lead him into other sins, into immorality, but this sin of Noah caused his son to sin. Take a look again at verse 22. We've already read it, but let us read it again in the context of the point we're seeking to make here. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father. And compare that to verse 24. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. Men and women, a far greater sin had been committed here by Noah's son. You know, many believe that the sin that Ham committed here was the sin of sodomy. I would be of that opinion. Ham is not just looking upon the nakedness of his father, but he is committing an act of sin here. Verse 24 clearly indicates this fact. And after Ham had committed this sin, he went out and he boasted about it. That's exactly what we have in verse 22. Look at verse 22 again, the latter part of it. After Ham saw the nakedness of his father, the Bible says, he told his two brethren without. Now, you see that word without there? It has a very interesting meaning. It literally means street. That word without. If you took your pen, you could write beside that word street. That's what it literally means. In other words, Ham told his brothers about his father's nakedness, not in private, but in public, in the street. You see, Ham wanted them to come and see their father's nakedness as well. Ham wanted his brothers to come and indulge in this sin of sodomy as well. Of course, they refused. And Ham was judged for his sin. Ham bore the penalty for his own sin. And Ham was responsible for his own sin. Now, I want to make that clear. I want to make that very clear. But what Ham did here, he did it, and he took the action himself, and he bore the penalty for it himself. But having said that, and this is the point that I want to make, because we're not dealing with Ham's sin here, we're dealing with Noah's sin. This is the point that I want to make. Ham would not have committed the sin on this occasion and at this time if his father had not been drunken and had not been uncovered. And although Noah cannot be held accountable for Ham's sin, Noah certainly can be held responsible for the circumstances that led Ham into sin at this particular time. And that's the point that I want to make. Because I believe it's a very important point. Child of God, we need to be careful that others don't sin and stumble because of our sin and failure. Because it can happen. And we have an example of that here in this portion of God's word. Noah's sin resulted in the sin of one of his sons. And this in return brought great shame upon Noah's family. We can see here the importance, child of God, of living close to the Lord every day of our lives. One foolish moment in the life of Noah caused him and his family great shame. Great shame. Could this really be the man, the same man that stood for God before the flood came? Could this really, truly be the same man that built the ark and lived a life of righteousness before the world? Could this really and truly be the same individual? Yes. The very same man. And child of God, if Noah could fail, and if Noah could fall, how much more you and me? You trying to tell me today that you're better than Noah? For I'm certainly not better than Noah. You trying to tell me that you're more righteous than Noah? That you're more godly than Noah? Child of God, are you trying to tell me that? Don't dare try to tell me that, because I'm not. There's no Christian upon this earth living today who was any better than Noah. And if Noah, just Noah, righteous Noah, godly Noah, holy Noah, could fail, then how much more you and I? Oh, listen, let me remind you of that verse again, and I apply it to my own heart, and God only knows how we need to apply it personally to all of our lives. Him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. If a great man like Noah could fall and fail, so can we. If a godly man like Noah can fall into sin, then so can we. Noah's life here sends forth a warning to each and every one of us. Now, there are many warnings in the Bible, and we have come across them, and we have studied many of them. But is this, again, not the Lord speaking to each and every one of us? I wonder, is there someone here today, and you're just about to take a step in the wrong direction? Are you? Child of God, don't take that step, because it will have consequences, not only for you, but for your family. It will. It will have consequences. You know, I was just reading this portion of Scripture again this morning before I came out to church. And even this morning, I saw something in it that I didn't really notice before. It didn't hit me before like it did this morning. Look at verse 24 of Genesis chapter 9. And Noah awoke from his wine. That was the morning after the night before. Noah awoke from his wine, and he knew what his younger son had done unto him.
Child of God, there's always the morning after. There's always the day after. And it wasn't until the day after, when Noah's failure hit him. And you know, that's when our sin will hit us. That's when our failure will hit us. The next day. Now the devil is so subtle, you know, so he is. He's so subtle. And he'll paint sin a pretty picture. And he'll paint sin a glamorous picture. And he'll say to you, even the child of God now there, you just walk straight in there. Just like he said to Eve, there's nothing wrong with the forbidden fruit. There's nothing wrong with what God has said, don't partake of. Oh, just go and partake of it. She was so naive. And Adam listened to her. But then afterwards, they felt the shame. It's not until afterwards we feel the shame. But oh, when the shame comes, it hits us like a bolt out of the blue. Child of God, live close to the Lord. Day by day, don't play around with sin. Noah played around with sin. He built the vineyard. He built the vineyard. And then he started to drink from the vineyard, playing around with sin, until eventually sin got a grip of him. And he was that drunk, he didn't know what he was doing. And he fell. Young people in this meeting today, stay away from booze. Don't let anyone tell you there's nothing wrong with a social drink. Don't let anyone tell you that there's nothing wrong with a glass of wine when you're taking your dinner. Stay away from it. And don't think that you'll be strong enough just to take that one drink. It's the biggest curse in Ireland today. It's a drug. And there's more people dying of alcohol abuse in this land today than any other drug. Stay away from it. Because it'll only lead you into deeper sin. And it'll only bring shame. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy word. O God, help us in these days to walk with thee. Forgive us for our sin, Lord. We may not have committed the sin of drunkenness, but Lord, there's none of us here today can stand guiltless before thee. If you were to mark iniquity, we would all fall before thee, Lord. We'd all be guilty. We thank thee for thy grace and for thy mercy. And we thank thee that there is grace and forgiveness for the sinner. Oh God, that's why you died upon the cross. That's why you shed your precious blood upon the middle tree on Golgotha's brow. How we thank thee, Lord, for thy mercy to us. Thank thee, Lord, for saving us, those who are saved. Oh God, help us in these days to walk with thee. Bless your saints. Bless your people. And O God, for those who are unsaved in our meeting, we pray, Lord, that you'll speak to their hearts as well, that they would turn away from their sins. We thank thee, Lord, that if we confess our sins, thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. O dear God, help us this day to live according to thy truth. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.